Welcome to the HR Chat Show, one of the world's most downloaded and shared podcasts designed for HR pros, talent execs, tech enthusiasts, and business leaders. For hundreds more episodes and what's new in the world of work, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media, and visit hrgazette.com.
Welcome to another episode of the HR Chat Show. I'm your host today, Bill Banham. And in this episode, we consider reasons why compensation management is important during times of economic volatility and how it can help organizations address the challenges they may face. My guest today is Perry Doody, co-founder of CompTrack, a cloud-based compensation management platform that enables better decision-making, employee empowerment, and ultimately, better productivity. For nearly 20 years, Perry has brought organizational transformation across the financial, healthcare, and retail sectors, boasting clients such as RBC, Walmart, Raymond James, and Nutrien, with experience that is a unique intersection of technology expertise and HR savviness. CompTrack solutions are different. And in a marketplace where engaging and retaining talent is critical to organizational success, Perry believes investing in people is an easy decision. Hey, Perry, welcome to the show today.
Great to be here, and thanks for reaching out. Really looking forward to the upcoming discussion.
Perry, beyond my reintroduction there, why don't you start by taking a minute or two and telling our listeners a bit more about yourself and, of course, the mission of CompTrack.
Sure. We started CompTrack, just a little over 10 years ago, and I've been in the compensation management space from the inception of my career. I actually worked for a firm that got bought out. And it was from there when that firm called me back, they wanted me to work on some compensation management solutions to actually help them solve the problem of retaining people and also paying out people based on the equity they had. So I got very familiar with LTIP programs and also got into the whole finance side behind the compensation management space. And it's interesting, when we started CompTrack, my partner, Lasse Siligren, who's really the technology side of CompTrack, and I'm the compensation side, our mission was to really transform problems, compensation problems, into opportunities and solutions. And it's been really amazing over my 20-year journey to see how things have changed. At one point in my career, I was the youngest person in the room. Now I'm kind of on the latter part, if you will. And I just love being around younger people and seeing what compensation management means to them. So it's just been an incredible journey. We started with two of us, and now our organization is up to 70-plus employees. And we're in various verticals as it relates to compensation management.
Thanks for tuning in to the HR Chat Podcast. If you're enjoying this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you could subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. And now, back to the conversation.
I love that. I'm about to hit the big 4-0, Perry, in just a couple of weeks. So I'm now joining a different demographic, I guess. And it's important to give back to the young folk, and because they are the future. So you recently shared a CompTrack blog post on your LinkedIn profile. I was doing a bit of LinkedIn stalking ahead of this interview today.
Yeah.
And it was focused on how an innovative compensation program can help to engage and retain top talent. In the post, your team offers 4 compensation trends that folks can focus on in 2023 and beyond. Can you maybe share some of those trends with us now and explain why they matter?
For sure. And it's interesting. When I went to school, my background is in finance, and I later on got an MBA, actually, where I met my business partner, Lasse. If I had to do it all over again, it would be human resources, for multiple reasons, not only in terms of building a business, but to me, the most successful companies I see out there, their HR departments are strategic and operational. They really are on top of things. They're looking forward. They're looking at trends. And what I really liked about the blog that the team put together is kind of looked at all aspects of where things are going, starting with human productivity and technology. we know, and I've been to several sessions and listened to multiple podcasts, we're just not going to have the labor that we once did going forward. So we have to be smarter about how we do things and be more productive. And what I've seen in compensation management is we've tended to throw people and manual effort at the whole management of compensation management. Build spreadsheets, send them out, chase people, collect them, analyze the data, run reports, then do this all over again, then do it all over again. And the other interesting thing is, you know, being in the space for so long, I've actually gone through now where people are retiring. People with really in-depth knowledge about that compensation cycle. So bringing a platform where it's automated and literally where you can take something that takes 2 weeks to go through a cycle, collect the data, and have it real time. And the cloud, the cloud's been an incredible enabler where it creates that secure infrastructure where you can start to do things real time. So getting those productivity gains allows then more time for the real interesting part, the analysis, the calibration, really understanding, okay, have we allocated pools and paid people appropriately? The other big trend I see is employee self-serve. It used to be in our compensation management, you'd go through your year-end cycle, and at the end, somebody would sit down with you, have a conversation, and then they'd hand you a letter or a piece of paper with what your bonus was and what you received. Well, what we're doing with Comtrack is we're giving an employee a complete online experience where not only are they in touch with the company at year end and getting the information and the transparency around why they're being paid, but we can keep them engaged all year round by giving them updates during the year, opening up specific components of their online portal to elections, showing them what variables are going to be used in the upcoming year and how they're going to actually be compensated. And employees want that. It's interesting. There is a whole generation of employees now that grew up, like literally from when they were babies, using iPads and iPhones and just used to having information at their fingertips, not having to go out and actually request information. And so our platform really brings the employee to the center of the whole experience. And then the other trends we're seeing as well is companies want to get creative around how they're compensating people. It used to be that you'd have a compensation plan and everyone would participate in the plan. And at the end of it, you do the calc and this is what they would get. And what we're seeing is that different things are important depending on the person. So yes, a cash bonus could be very important to a person, but to another individual, it might be an education opportunity. It might be LTIP, long-term incentives, where they may get equity. It may be travel. It just may be opportunities. It may be an extra day off. And so those companies that are very strategic understand that they have, if you will, different personas of employees and can adjust their compensation plans. It's really important that you deploy a system that is flexible enough to change with needs. And the final trend we're seeing is really humanizing leadership. We're seeing this in terms of people working from home and being remote, where it can be challenging, where you don't have that personal interaction anymore. So ensuring that you can actually connect with people and do it in different ways, using a platform, giving people updates so information is not static but dynamic, is very critical. And so I find this time very exciting. And I think it highlights how important HR needs to be in a company, especially one that is growing and wants to actually achieve its business objectives.
On May 18th, the Benefits and Wellness Superhero Symposium returns to Toronto. Attendees will learn from experts about how to become a superhero in the eyes of employees and management. The evening event is presented by Thorpe Benefits and proudly supported by HR Gazette. Unable to attend the event in person? No problem. Simply register through Eventbrite by searching for Benefits and Wellness Superhero Symposium and you will automatically be invited to the virtual edition, taking place 2 weeks later.
Okay, so let's just follow that through a little bit, Perry. Why do you think that compensation management is particularly important at the moment during these times of economic volatility, which is caused by a whole bunch of things? Not all of them are economic. Yeah, there are other contextual things. The war in Ukraine, for example, has put extra pressures on different economies. And how can it help organizations address the challenges that they may face?
I think the last time we really went through somewhat of a global crisis like this was the economic meltdown in 2008 and 2009. So a lot of employees haven't experienced this. And when you talk about inflation, there hasn't been much inflation until the last year and a half, 2 years. And so what this means is companies have a finite amount of dollars or resources that they can allocate. And so it becomes increasingly important that they do it in the most optimal way, and also reflects the company's values. And those values include equity, include accounting for diversity. And typically, in an environment like this, is that you have to almost get into the mindsets of what is important to the employee. And being transparent is critical. People want to know, okay, if there is a pool of, let's just say, 5% and I'm getting 3%, why is that? Does it relate to my performance? Is it a legacy thing? So I would say compensation management in any environment is important. But in challenging times like this, where you have a limited amount of resources, you really have to be on top of your game. And you also have to be innovative and creative. As I mentioned earlier, for some people, the increase might mean everything. For other people, it might be an opportunity to take a day off. It might be an opportunity to do some personal development. So staying in touch with your employees and also being flexible and agile. Agility is a value of our company, and we like to extend it out when we're working with our clients, because we expect compensation plans and management to change. If it's static, I would say then that probably a company is not doing the right things. They should be reviewing their compensation plans all the time. And the ones that we've been working with certainly have made some changes with this current economic environment.
Okay, thank you very much. So how have you seen organizations' attitudes towards compensation shift over the years? So you mentioned that, you know, you started this, there are two of you, and you've grown the business. So you've been there, you've seen it, you've done it all. How have you seen attitudes change over the years, particularly during times of economic uncertainty?
So, great question. I when I look at my own journey, which is 20 years, when I came in, compensation was very much very personalized. You know, you'd get your letter at the end of the year, or you'd get your offer letter, and it was highly, highly confidential. And typically, at least in my experience, I didn't talk about my compensation with other employees. It was almost a taboo topic. And what I've seen over the years is that's changed 180. It's become much more transparent. Even things like documentation around the compensation plan is made available to employees. You're seeing in some jurisdictions where when you post for jobs now, there is a salary range placed. And so this transparency is that companies have to really not only understand their compensation plans, but present them in a way that when year end is over and you're awarding something, you can tie it back to what the plan is. And you almost have to be able to justify decisions that you made. And that has been a big shift. So it's hard to argue against the value of transparency. However, backing that value up with material, with the way that you communicate compensation, your philosophy on compensation is very important. It used to be... And I can remember in my career that if you wanted a substantial bump, you'd almost have to leave the organization. what I'm seeing companies do is they're getting on top of that. They're really pouring resources into identifying employees and putting them on a career path and reaching out to them. And it's interesting, data today can actually help in that journey and identifying opportunities where you might be at risk of losing an employee. So certainly the transparency is a big one. The other thing I've seen is companies get very creative with their compensation plans and how they reward people. More and more companies are using long-term incentive plans and equity to retain people, where previously that tended to be for a very small group and typically senior employees in an organization. And I'm seeing that now being more extended out, which I think is a good thing to more employees who make them feel like owners in the company. So, and you know, during economic uncertainty, what you do have, which costs you nothing, is flexibility and agility, is how can you be creative with the same pool of resources? And a big part of that in my mind is just engagement and communication. And that's been, like I said, I think a lot of companies are deploying strategies around that and being very successful.
Which departments are the most tricky to handle when it comes to compensation management? Is it sales? Because, you know, I'm guessing quotas and commissions and whatnot can change quite quickly.
Great question. So it's interesting. So sales, what I would say is companies, when you have a business that is really driven by different results, may change performance metrics from year to year. They may change weightings as things become more important. And so what I've kind of also seen is that there are companies we work with where every employee is on a bonus plan of some sort. And depending upon whether they're in supply chain, whether they're in administration, or they're in the front office in sales, components of those plans can be different, but they're using a similar framework. So it's really important that you actually have a platform that not only could accommodate different variables, companies are using multi-factor indicators to actually determine what your bonus may be. What I mean by that is business results, a personal indicator, a performance indicator of some sort. And then they're also kind of incorporating what I would call more subjective components, where somebody or colleagues can provide feedback. So you're kind of taking into account multiple facets and then being able to actually run the calculation. The other thing, and not to get too technical about our platform, but I'm a big believer that at the end of the day, you still need the flexibility to override a number. So it's fine to do all the calculations, but there always are some factors that you may want to work into somebody's compensation. And that's really important as well. The other thing I'm seeing on the pay equity and diversity and inclusion is for companies to allocate separate pools, recognizing that there may be employee groups that historically have been underpaid. So they're using those segregated pools to help get those employees up while having a more discretionary pool across the organization. So sometimes your sales commissions could be very straightforward, but it comes back to companies are being more innovative and creative and trying to incorporate these different factors into the comp plans.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Before we go any further, listeners, shameless plug. Regular listeners of this show will know that I am not scared to do a shameless plug. Please do check out an episode that I did with Dave Johnson from way back when, gosh, at least a couple of years ago, specifically on compensation management for salespeople. And indeed, if you enjoy that interview, there's a whole podcast series from the Canadian Professional Sales Association that I did with Dave specifically on that subject matter. But anyway, back to this conversation today. Okay, let's get into maybe some use cases now, if you don't mind. Tell us a little bit about your company's compensation management software and how it's helped organizations. And perhaps you can name drop a few success stories or examples of organizations that have been able to weather economic uncertainty thanks to effective compensation management that you help them with.
I will, and thanks for the opportunity. So one of the things I see that is very common amongst our clients is they have a strategic lens on compensation, but they also recognize that in order to fulfill that strategic lens, they have to put things in place to really operationalize it properly. And so I like to talk about our flagship client who is with us from the beginning, Canada's largest bank. They had some really interesting platforms that had just come out of the financial crisis of 2008. And we started working with them, and we had to account for things like special rules, a multi-national workforce. So interesting, when we used to open up Comtrack to the employees, we would do a webcast at 8 in the morning and 8 in the evening, because we had to hit every time zone across the world. But this was a good example where spreadsheets were being utilized. And you can just imagine when you have employees throughout the globe sending out spreadsheets, collecting them, how tedious and time consuming that can be. And it was a real partnership with that organization, because nuances matter in compensation management. It's not like an HRIS where you can take one instance of a platform and just deploy it across multiple organizations. Things like nomenclature, special rules from business to business, how they would actually do the calibration, the reporting. And so we worked with them. We displaced hundreds of spreadsheets, multiple legacy systems, and we literally were able to kind of condense their year-end cycle in terms of the time, days to collect those spreadsheets to go to a real-time experience. When COVID hit, we were able to take the same client with a lot of our other clients and go to online statements for employees. So that experience where I told you of handing your year-end letter to an employee obviously couldn't happen in 2020. So we're very proud that we're able to decommission not only the number of spreadsheets and the time it takes to collect that information, but also de-risk it from a security perspective as well. Using the cloud, the security around the cloud infrastructure just goes a tremendous way. And calibration, when I use that term calibration, reviewing numbers and ensuring that they are done in the most optimal way, having a real-time solution just goes so far. And we've seen this with all our clients. In some form or another, every client that works with us had a heavy reliance on spreadsheets or legacy systems, and we are able to take them away from that.
Two more questions for you.
Sure.
We do wrap up for today. Earlier on in one of your previous answers, and I appreciate that you're not an economist, and in fact, in that answer, you mentioned that if you could do it all over again, you'd be an HR person. You did mention the fact that from your experience, what we're going through right now, that the closest comparison would be what happened in 2008-09. Should we be worried that things will get as bad as 2008-2009? Is it going to be, I've heard this term, soft recession? Maybe it might get that bad. But what's your take on it?
I don't think it's going to be like 2008-09. One of the reasons I don't think it's going to be like that is I think we've learned from those experiences. It's interesting. We work with some UK and EU clients that out of the 2008 crisis, they actually changed the compensation plans, interestingly enough, for a lot of their employees that were in a risk-taking position. So the whole idea behind it was to really manage risk on a long-term basis versus a short-term basis. So I think we become aware of those things. Certainly, inflation is somewhat new, I think, for a lot of people. But in the US and Canada and around the globe, rates have gone up. I think we're kind of reaching the peak. But what I would say is I think we're living in just a very interesting time where there's no shortage of opportunity. And the things that people are developing and we're seeing are going to lead to productivity gains that we need. We didn't talk a lot about artificial intelligence and what ChatGPT means for compensation management, but there will be innovations relating to artificial intelligence on compensation management. So the way I look at these times is when we have high interest rates or there's been some sort of event, it's an opportunity, yes, in some ways to cleanse out the bad, if you will. But those companies that are always looking forward, they're going to end up in a really good place. And, you know, from my experience is that we haven't seen a real slowdown, because the HR space, in my mind, what came out of COVID was just more focus. I think it was an area that was underinvested in the past, and it just became apparent that we need not just compensation management systems, but good HR platforms and departments. And most leaders, good leaders, look at the long run. So as it relates to the next 12 months, I couldn't tell you what is going to happen. But as it relates to the long term, I'm bullish on the future. And that's been the one consistent thing about my career, is that there have certainly been dips, but we've just come out of those dips stronger than ever. And it's been quite remarkable on the innovations that we've made, especially in HR.
Beautiful. And just finally for today, Perry, how can our listeners connect with you? So maybe you might want to share your email address, LinkedIn details, maybe all over Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, who knows? And of course, how can they learn more about all the cool things happening at CompTrack?
Sure. So we are on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn personally, Perry Duty. You'll find me there. Not on TikTok, although I hear everything that's going on from TikTok from my daughter. But we do have a presence, and I'm always available. I can be reached at perry.duty@comtrack.com. And just like this opportunity, love to connect with HR people, love to learn more on what's going on. And one of the things I've learned over the years is only good comes from connecting with others. So really appreciate the time today to talk about these issues, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. I love your energy. You come across as a nice guy who wants to give back. So I appreciate you. Thank you very much for your time on this episode of the HR Chat Show.
Great. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks for listening to the HR Chat Show. If you enjoyed this episode, why not subscribe and listen to some of the hundreds of episodes published by HR Gazette? And remember, for what's new in the world of work, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media, and visit hrgazette.com.